What are we starting with this week?
Spotify update.
I was not prepared for that because the last 2 weeks, you've not been letting us guess.
That's right.
So I just assumed you'd tell us.
I told you before we did the episode. So we're thanking our patrons because today's a patron vote episode.
Of course.
And this is why I don't let you guess.
No.
So we're going to have to thank all of our patrons. Very special thank you to you all for making this episode possible. If you want to join our Patreon, you can get a bunch of perks like bonus episodes, a new podcast called Sci Guys After Dark. You can get access to every single Sci Guys live show, the live show that we do every second Sunday, all those things and more. So head there, patreon.com/SciGuys, if you'd like.
Access to intimate details of our lives.
No.
No.
Oh, sorry. We took that one away.
That one's out like hotcakes.
No, yeah, it's very popular.
But we've also got a little question for you. So if you're listening, go to the YouTube, and if you're watching, you're on YouTube. Go to the comments and answer this question. The question is: are you religious? If so, what's your religion? Curious. No reason.
Veganism.
You're running a poll.
Yeah, not a poll, just a little survey. You know. Shall we start the show?
No. Not before we have thanked our patrons.
We literally just did that.
I thought we had to thank them by name.
No, that was the first thing we do. Okay. We thank them by name at the end.
Right, at the cool. end. Yeah.
So I guess we are starting.
Let's start the show.
Okay, let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, award-winning producer, Jemp, and award-winning director, Luke Cutforth.
Thank you.
Our film won an award.
Wow, you won an award, didn't you?
Yeah.
What award was it?
We won Best UK Feature at Raindance.
Well done, good job. A round of applause there. Fantastic.
Well done, you and me.
And you.
Not you.
You especially.
I was in it.
You were in it. You won too.
Yeah, I was in it.
I have the award. You gave me the award for a good 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
award-winning voice actor.
Oh, look at that. Wow. Yeah. We all won awards, didn't we?
Yeah. We did.
But today we are talking about cults. I don't have anything interesting. We're talking about cults.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to start a cult.
What's your favorite cult?
My favorite cult?
Yeah.
Whatever one Luke is starting.
My friends tell me I make an interesting cult leader. I don't want to start a cult. I just like, so I want to live in a world where if I'm like out of flour, I can like go to my neighbor's house and I'm like, hey man, have you got any flour? And then they might have some flour and then they give me the flour and I'll also reciprocate. I suppose that's just having a neighbor. But also I want to like...
pre-capitalist social structure is what you're looking for.
Yeah. But also like, I want to have like, okay, all the kids have to go to school. And we're all separately taking them. Let's band together and buy a community minibus. And then one of the parents each day takes the kids to school and picks them up.
School bus.
Yeah.
And then eventually people just start saying, I'm a cult leader.
Well, it's because you want to start a commune.
Yeah, I want to start a commune. Exactly.
Well, be a commune leader.
I think that you said you want to start a commune, and that'd be great. A commune sounds fantastic. But I worry that you would accidentally become a cult leader.
Yeah.
Like fully accidental. Oh, you did that, more or less. You became a YouTuber.
Yeah. I had quite a big cult, didn't I?
Luke Cultfirth. There you go. Luke Cultfirth. Fantastic. So what is it? We should probably get into this. What is a cult? You know what a cult is, first off?
A small insular group of people who are usually under some crazy ideas. I don't know how to describe it.
That's not bad. It's difficult to describe a cult. Yeah. Luke, do you want to give it a crack?
I would say like fanatical, group who like worship some kind of central idea.
Mm, yeah. So, I mean, by that logic.
Yeah.
Countries are
any yeah,
patriotism.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of religions. So it's difficult. Those are not cults necessarily. I'm saying countries, religions, those aren't necessarily cults. But I've got a couple definitions for a cult and I will give them to you now. So a cult can either be a sharply bounded social group or a diffusely bounded social movement held together through shared commitment to a charismatic leader. Essentially what that means is it's like a really closely knit group linked by a charismatic leader.
Like the Conservative Party.
Would you say he's charismatic?
Yes, I think he's got a charismatic persona, if you like that kind of thing.
I suppose, yeah. There's also another definition I've got here. This is from the Oxford English Dictionary from 2018. It's a small group of people who have similar religious beliefs or routines that others view as bizarre or sinister. And then also, in this research paper that I read, a cult is also a group or movement with a shared pledge to an extreme ideology that is typically embodied by a charismatic leader.
Like the Conservative Party.
Yeah, no, this is the issue, right? This is what happens when you start saying, what is a cult?
So it doesn't need to have a leader. You don't need it. So I was going to say, you shouldn't always... Yeah, I can imagine cults without leaders.
No, cults kind of do need leaders.
Really?
You need, yeah. Well, one leader.
Or like a symbol. Like a, yeah. I was thinking instead of a leader, maybe a symbol.
The leader like tends to be the symbol, right?
Okay.
Or yeah, like a symbol or some kind of figurehead. And yeah, the leader usually becomes that, you know? Like it's...
Because, for example, could the monster raving loony party, who have a theoretical, hypothetical spaghetti monster who they all worship... Is that a cult? So yeah, the Monster Raving Loony Party is like a political protest party that says that like the whole thing's a load of crap. And I think they worship the flying spaghetti monster.
Yes, that's about this.
Pastafarianism.
Is that Pastafarianism?
It's Pastafarianism.
Okay.
Which is a sort of protest or mock satirical religion. But if it's your deeply held belief, then who am I to say otherwise? That is meant to sort of satirize the idea of believing in God, because no one can prove that there isn't a giant flying spaghetti monster that you know is the one above all, you know.
So I find it more realistic, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're made of spaghetti, then why would you be able to make spaghetti out of do you know what I mean? I feel like a God should be made out of a fundamental thing rather than something that
Italians didn't invent spaghetti, maybe they discovered it. from the god.
The spaghetti monster came down and cut off a piece of his body.
And everyone went, well, we can make more of this, actually, if we just get some of this corn,
plant
this,
some spaghetti
wheat
trees.
Stuff.
Maybe the spaghetti was made in the image of the Lord.
Well, yeah. Wheat was made in the image of the fetus Lord, yes.
This episode's gone way off the rails. Thank you to our patrons for voting on this topic. we're doing it. We gotta. So, yeah, I mean, this is the thing about cults. And, like, I mean, we could probably spend a long time. This episode, I'm going to be totally honest, it's probably going to be light on the actual science of cults. We can do another episode on the psychology of cults. But there's a lot of stuff to cover just about cults in general. Just the idea, I think, is really interesting, is what even a cult is. Because, like, we're sitting here, we're talking about, what is a cult? What isn't a cult? And a lot of these definitions, it kind of reminds me of trying to define soup. Or a chair.
Great clip on our Patreon. Go watch it. You have to go down quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can just search for it and it'll show up.
Search for it. What is soup?
What is soup? Yeah.
Good clip.
And this is the thing. It's difficult to describe these things because we know generally what a cult is, right? We've got a feeling for what a cult is. But when you start to describe a cult, you kind of start lumping in some other things that we probably don't want to call cults.
I guess because I suppose you're generally describing a cult, or you're accusing something of being a cult relative to your thing that you're in, which you think is not a cult.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're in your country or your religion or your political movement or whatever you're in that you define as like, this is true, this is a thing that's actually based on truth, then relative to that, something can be a cult. But then trying to define something objectively as a cult is a different thing.
And I think the issue is that along with that, in your sort of subjective definition of what a cult is, it is inherently a cult is essentially just a thing but with negative spin, right?
Yeah,
like the only reason we don't want to call, say, Christianity a cult or the Conservative Party a cult is because a cult is what those things are but with negative connotations. Does that make sense?
Christianity is kind of a cult because the leader is Jesus, who they believe is continuing to be alive. So
they think he's dead, but he's coming back.
No, well, they think Jesus lives on in spirit form,
right, okay,
and that he will reform into humanity again. So their leader is still present, according to their beliefs.
Yeah,
just not physically at the moment.
That's the thing. Cult. When you try to define it, you include a lot of things that people don't want to call cult, and the only reason they don't want to call it a cult is because cult is basically just a negative name for a group of people that are fanatical about something, and people want to put a positive spin on that sometimes. So there is a difficulty in that. But I mean, I guess we're all kind of operating under the general idea of what a cult is. It's like a sort of group that are extreme, would be viewed by most people as being extreme and follow a leader who is particularly charismatic. And additionally, cults tend to they tend to sort of make people do things that they probably on their own otherwise would not do.
The
Kool-Aid, the whole drinking the Kool-Aid thing, like the Jonestown Massacre, all of that sort of stuff, right? Leading people into harming themselves where they otherwise wouldn't, right? They just end up being totally drawn into this and following this leader and whatever sort of rules are laid down.
Would you say that cults and cultish beliefs are generally not true? Or could you have a cult that's actually like a superior worldview than the current paradigm? And would that then be a cult, or would that be like a paradigm shift?
Well, I think a cult is, you gotta, this is my point here. I think cult as a term is inherently flawed in that it is, it describes a number of things, but what differentiates a cult from the rest of the things that cult doesn't describe is that you ascribe a negative connotation to whatever you're describing as a cult. So when it comes to truth, I feel like you could...
It doesn't really take it into account.
It doesn't hugely take... You could label it as a... You could label those, like, something as a cult if it is extreme to you, right? So you could say, oh, it's a paradigm shift, but to the people before the paradigm shift, you could say it's a cult. Although I personally would say you couldn't really call something a cult if it follows truth, right? But then, as we discussed on Sci Guys After Dark, truth is a difficult concept to get to.
Well, I guess it depends, because there will be some people who would want to cling on to the old paradigm, who would call the new paradigm, if it was closer to truth then, rather than being truth, that they would call it a cult, and they would call it untrue because of their unwillingness to change. Whereas the people who had joined the cult that was actually a paradigm shift that was closer to truth and maybe a more effective way of running a society or that kind of thing would be sort of like, you know, calling it a paradigm shift, right?
Yeah, I just thought of a perfect example to exactly what you're talking about.
I think I've thought of one as well.
Yeah, the transgender
cult. Yeah, transgender cult. Yeah, that's exactly the one I thought of. Yeah, transphobes that call trans people the cult, the trans cult.
Yeah, well, the transgender cult being anyone that thinks that trans people are, you know, all right, fine.
Wow.
As
what
you know,
a cult.
I feel like it's insane. Sorry.
Well, I think
just
you're playing.
Quick,
I think you're playing down the incredible paradigm shift that was realized by the LGBT community. But yes.
Yeah, sure. Can I just, I want to point out that a lot of people, right, TERFs, I say a lot of people in the UK, TERFs in the UK will often say the transgender cult.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is crazy almost to call someone else a cult when your sort of side is, there is this specific group of people who are inherently disgusting and scary and we shouldn't trust them.
Well, but they are holding on. They're doing what I said there, which is like they're holding on to an old paradigm.
Absolutely.
And so they see themselves as the default, right? And they see the new cult as this like changed thing that's different to the default, which is like men are men, women are women, male equals man, female equals woman, etc.
But it's inherent. My point is, it's kind of inherently silly to point to people being like, well, actually, this group of people are all right. They're fine. As people go, they are largely the same as other people. To see that group and think, wow, they are a cult. Whereas we over here, who don't want anything to change and who are, you know, scared of one specific group of people for no sort of tangible reason, we are not the cult, but they are. I just think it shows like a kind of... just this lack of self-awareness almost. I think that takes us right into the different types of cults. Do you want to talk about
the different types?
Well, so a lot of this is from, I mean, I've got things from a few places. I got some of this from the APA. This one is from Columbus State. So it's a paper called Cults, A Psychological Perspective. And it just talks a lot about cults. So there's some different types of cults. So do you want to get into that?
Yes, please.
I want to take a guess. Take a stab at any kind of cult. Just a general description
followed
by the word cult. Well, let's see. Let's see if religious cult is there.
A sex cult.
Well, religious cult is there. Did you say sex cult?
Yeah.
Well, you know a lot about cults. So religious cult.
As an aspiring cult leader,
well,
I had to do the reading.
I feel like you would accidentally just become a cult leader, Luke. I don't feel like you need to research it. I think that you're mostly there already.
I'm just instinctively a cult leader. I'd like to know which of the cult types you think I will start when we've heard them all.
Well, Why don't we go from the start?
Yeah, go on.
And I'll say this. Look, you're not going to start this first cult that's here, which is a racist cult. I feel like we're fairly...
Okay, now I'm getting the gist of the types. Okay.
Yeah. We're okay, fairly fine. Comfortable. And, like, I mean, look, KKK. I love that you inherently knew the types of cults that I was after. That is...
Is that like the KKK? Is that a racist cult?
Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan are a racist cult.
I don't think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I would assume.
I heard I don't think so.
I also heard I don't think so. It's like, whoa.
Just
I
clarify, think they're I do actually... think so.
Well, that hat is looking a bit pointy there, Jem.
I was originally going to say I hope so, but then I was like, that could be taken the wrong way.
For our listeners, Jamp has taken off his sheet with the eye holes cut out for today only.
Excuse me.
Yeah, but he puts a beanie on top, so it doesn't quite look as pointy. It's difficult to tell, you know? Yeah.
Take off the beanie and the full
outfit. It's like one of those pop-up tents, you know?
No, we can't. That's so bad.
Either that or the hat is what keeps on the jamp suit.
Yeah.
Underneath, there is the KKK skin suit. Like Superman.
Oh, wow. So you're wearing this jamp suit just to hide that you're a racist. That is that is extreme commitment.
The KKK outfit is the true form.
Yeah.
Of you, not me.
I just want to say to any of our listeners and viewers, please, for the love of God, do not start a joke of Jamp being racist, because that just will not fly. Okay, I'm saying it right now. No Jamp is racist memes in the Discord. No Jamp is racist comments.
I will take away the Discord and I'll take away the channel. I have the power.
So racist cults. The Ku Klux Klan is a racist cult. Essentially, the idea is that it says here they often practice prejudice, discrimination, and hatred towards a group that is of a different race than the cult members.
Sorry, that's when you say they practice. It's like they get together and go, right, okay, I'll be the black guy. And then I walk up and then you all practice being racist.
You're not racist enough, but keep at it. You'll be racist one day.
I will say I have seen a lot of people that are very poor at being racist. I've been on the receiving end of that. They try real hard.
Yeah, you were telling me the other day about people who were really rubbish at being racist to you.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of people that are really rubbish at just insulting me in general. Someone said, is this the leftist man who calls himself a feminist? I was like, sure, I guess.
You think they're trans or something?
I don't know, man.
I don't understand them.
I don't know whether... Like, so honestly, sometimes I get an insult and I'm like, I'm struggling to understand what they're saying.
I think they're meant to imply that you're not a real man.
Oh. Yeah, but like, why
and
is...
And by extension, that they are.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I struggle to understand what they're insulting and why it is insulting, really. But that's not for today. We're talking about cults. So the idea is a racist cult is essentially just it's what it says in the tin, innit? It's a group of people that really strongly believe in this sort of superiority or inferiority of another race. And so they all gather together. They put on their silly little costumes sometimes.
They are quite silly, pretty horrible things.
Yeah. I mean, they would, if it wasn't for, I suppose, the horrible things they do. Yeah. They'd be quite fun and silly, wouldn't they? Like a fun, silly little thing to laugh at.
If it wasn't for, you know, the majority of what they're known for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If just a bunch of grown men who think they're really, like, hard, got together and dressed up and danced around.
Yeah.
It's not very, kind of funny.
Interesting. It's not very practical.
Where the other stuff added on, though, not funny.
No, yeah, no.
Interestingly, this also brings up a new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Which apparently is a racist cult. It's similar in name, it says, to the Black Panther Party, but it is different. Apparently, they are quite anti-Semitic and anti-Caucasian. So they're kind of black nationalist or black separatist, but there is that. There's definitely a line between this is okay and this is not okay. And according to this paper, that's pushing into the sort of culty end.
Yeah.
Another one that I love. It's Doomsday Cults.
Oh, yeah, of course.
A Doomsday cult. So what do you think a Doomsday cult might be?
There's always like a prophecy of end times coming soon, and this small group of people get together and they basically just prepare for the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Together.
Another thing as well is that they can also bring about the end, as in if we come together, we can create a doomsday, a renewal, a rebirth, you know.
Oh, usually their leader is like the one that's going to take them on to the next world or whatever, right?
Yeah,
that's
a common theme. The Mormons.
That's just religion. I mean,
yeah, but the original Mormons, they like banded about this one Joseph guy, Smith. Went on a walk somewhere and thought that the end of the world was coming. He was going to lead them to paradise.
Yeah, no, I think this is again, you bring that up, you bring up the Mormons there. And what's interesting is that at the time that they were new, they could almost be considered a cult, right? But now they're a little bit more mainstream. And so you can't really... You can't describe them as that, if that makes sense.
I think you should be able to.
You should, you can. It's offensive. It's also, but like, you can.
Jesus and the disciples, that's a cult. Regardless of whether there's truth to it, that's a cult.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, this is my issue with the term cult. It describes a vast number of things, except it's just the bad one of this vast number of things.
Okay, well, I'm meaning just cult as in, like, no judgment. But it is a cult.
It's a neutral cult. I know what you mean, and I think that's a useful term because it points out it's very easy to point out your own personal bias there, right? That I think this is a cult, but I think this other thing is not a cult, despite the fact that they're very similar.
Yeah, you know? We need a new word. Basically, means loads of people fanatically following a charismatic leader. And we're withholding judgment to see if it turns out to be good or not.
Actually, so you were talking about, we were talking about doomsday cults, and Jamp, you mentioned that the leader would take them onto paradise.
That's the thing I've noticed. Yes,
I was watching Joy of Sect last night.
What is that?
The Simpsons episode.
Of course.
completely unrelated to this. I just thought I'd watch, and they do a really solid job of actually looking at how people get into cults. They make jokes about it, obviously, but. Watching that episode after having read about this, they do a pretty decent job.
Yeah.
And we'll probably see a little bit of that later. So they've got that charismatic leader that's going to take them on to sort of salvation after the world ends, you know? You've got doomsday cults. Religious cults we've kind of touched on as well. It says they're the most notorious type of cult. But obviously, religious cults overlap with a lot of different cults as well. Because, I mean, the Ku Klux Klan, I'm pretty sure, is Christian, right? You pretty much have to be, like, white and Christian to be a part of it. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure someone will say in the comments, but I'm fairly sure that it is quite tied to that. I mean, they burn crosses on people's...
That's always confused me.
I don't know.
Why are they burning the cross?
I've been meaning to look into that,
actually. The cross is meant to be, like, quite important.
I suppose you
could burn it. If you burned the cross before Jesus was put on it, that'd be quite good.
I'd be rather good, I think. Yeah, because he wouldn't be tired carrying it up the hill. Oh, right, the dying thing.
Yeah, I guess.
I just thought it'd be easier to carry than some bags.
Yeah.
It's ash.
Could have had an extra 3 days, really.
Right, hold on, wait. An extra 3 days.
Yeah, he was dead for 3 days, wasn't he? He
came back. Oh, he didn't come back forever. That makes sense.
He came back to say bye.
Which is honestly quite nice. Although, really, you knew you were going to be killed, so say bye then, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
Right? You know?
I don't know if he did know he was going to be killed, because I think he does say, Father, why have you forsaken me, on the cross. So I don't know if he can predict the future.
Well, he can. He knew he was going to be killed. He had the Last Supper.
What if he was just...
And he fully, like, kissed... hold on, that was Judas kissing him, but he knew that Judas had betrayed him.
Honestly, our Bible knowledge is poor at best. So,
oh my God! So we were talking about a specific cult that I said maybe we shouldn't call them cults, and I forgot that under religious cults, the Jesus Christ Church of Latter Day Saints, or the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter Day Saints. Do you know what another name for that is?
Pick a more boring name.
Do you know what another name for those is?
The Mormons.
Fully described as a religious cult. They've got polygamy, a bunch of different things. I mean, all the Mormons I've met are very lovely. They just seem to be very lovely people, although their views on gay people, not so hot. But you know, generally they are very kind, but then you always meet people. I've only ever met Mormons when they're doing missionary stuff.
Well, also you've only met the Mormons that they allow to do the missionary stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe all the horrible Mormons aren't allowed out.
They all have to do missionary stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but like this is what is I think difficult, because you can criticize these beliefs. You're not necessarily criticizing the person. And also, you're not trying to undermine those beliefs, right? Like, this is what's difficult about calling something a cult, because there's a lot of parts of Christianity that would be a cult, were they not somewhat more mainstream, you know?
Yeah, but also there are like different sections of Christianity
will have
begun as sort of a cult within, like a sect within the Christian church, right?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And we'll probably get in trouble for this, but Scientology, another religious cult right there.
No, I believe that.
Absolutely.
Uh-oh.
I just mean that
that's
angry
the one you don't touch, Corey.
We're not big enough for them to come for us. But,
if we're not here next week, you know why.
If Tom Cruise has replaced me.
Time for some science.
Honestly, I've been thinking it'd be really fun to get into...
Scientology?
I think it'd be really fun to get into Scientology. In fact, I went to a Scientology center once and had them
do
me.
Yeah.
They told me I was depressed because of... I don't know. I needed them to help my depression. And I'd seen a doctor and was... Yeah?
Of course.
Yeah, and I'd seen a doctor and was on antidepressants at the time, or had been prescribed antidepressants. And I was like, well, actually, no, this is why I'm depressed, because my brain broke. And they were like, no, you're depressed because we can help you.
What?
Yeah, they're, oh, you're depressed. Sorry. You're depressed and we can help you. And you're depressed because of stuff that's happened to you.
Haven't spent enough time with us.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, okay. And then we get to... And then it's... When you leave, you genuinely almost exit through a gift shop. There's like books and stuff that you can buy for exorbitant prices. One of my friend that I went with bought one of their like sort of leaflets, I think for a tenner or something, and it's only a few pages long. But it's really interesting going in, and I thought, how great would it be to, and I probably won't be able to do this now that I've said it on the podcast, but I wasn't going to do it anyway, would be to sort of be a mole in the Scientologist. But again... I realized that I probably am not strong enough to stand up to that level of brainwashing. I genuinely don't think
really?
I am. I think I'm very stubborn, but I think they could get me.
Really? That's the thing I was gonna ask is, like, to be fair, they were telling you this stuff. You didn't test it. You didn't go in and go, well, all right, I'll give it a chance, see what happens. Right hypothesis. My hypothesis is not gonna work. Give it 6 weeks, see if it works.
I fully recognize how dangerous they are.
Sure.
Yeah. I think I'm an incredibly arrogant person, but I'm not as arrogant to think that I can stand up to that level of...
Really? You think it works that well?
It's not that I think it works that well. It's that I am cautious that it may work. It may work. I think ultimately it will probably work better than I give them credit for. And it's not something you want to be sort of...
If you find out for yourself, it's too late.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be like, oh, this will be fine. And then you're in it. And I don't know, maybe they make you do something horrible so that they've got dirt on you so you can't leave. You know, that's what a lot of...
Like the Bullingdon Club.
Yeah. But yeah, no, seriously. It's like, I would very much love to be a fly on the wall or get into it and see what's actually going on at the top level. Because you know it's all, like, you know, people come out and said, oh, it's not great stuff. But yeah, I'd be curious. But also... I think they could get to me, get in here. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anyone that I think could stand up to it.
I'll try. No, I won't.
No.
Go on. Let's chuck jump in.
Yeah. Stick them out.
So I've also got something here about the need for cults. It's you guys know pyramid schemes, right?
Yes.
They're in a similar sort of thing in that their sort of structure is similar. You've got someone on the top and then it kind of goes down and down and there's more people on each like subsequent
like
lower
Tupperware.
Level. Yep, like stacking Tupperware.
No, like Tupperware. Tupperware was one of those companies where, like, you go to your friends' houses and sell them Tupperware, and then you convince all the friends you sold Tupperware to also themselves sell Tupperware, and then they convince their friends to sell Tupperware, and it's Tupperware all the way down, and the money must flow to the whoever is the top Tupperware person.
I did not know that Tupperware was a pyramid scheme.
Well, I don't. Okay, I don't know if it is.
If it was, yeah, no, that's a pyramid scheme.
I believe that's how Tupperware got its start.
It's kind of a multi-level marketing scheme.
Yeah, MLM, exactly.
Which is like, you know, like Avon and all that.
Yeah. Avon, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Mm. Or the sort of candle parties and everything, like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, as soon as you open this, you've got there's lots of different forms.
And
of
Summers,
that. Really?
And Summers do Ann Summers parties.
That's probably a little bit different, though, isn't it?
I think it's somewhat similar, where you become an Ann Summers salesperson and you put on an Ann Summers night for your friends. I'll do one for us.
Do that, yeah. I think the key is that you you get more people. So what I think it's probably slightly different to Avon and that sort of stuff, because they're just kind of sales representatives. But the, I think the key point with that is that, and I don't know enough about Ann Summers and Avon to really say this, but yeah. the whole point is that you take someone, you've got a person, and you have them selling to other people, but you also have them recruiting other people to be below them, and they take a share of the people that they recruit.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's a kind of flimsy business model in that you can make a lot of money, but most of the money flows to the person at the top because it's all flowing up.
Is that not an MLM?
Yeah.
And is that not a pyramid scheme?
A pyramid scheme. I think a pyramid scheme is a type of MLM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So again, what it talks about here is that cults usually focus on people that have gone through some kind of loss, and people get into them through loneliness, offering people community and friendship. And you can understand why that works, right? Like, through just human evolution, we crave community. We're sort of communal animals. We need that level of sort of safety. We need other people to feel sort of happy. You know, if you take a person, put them in isolation, I mean, you know what sort of solitary confinement does to people.
Yeah,
you can genuinely go clinically insane just from being alone for an extended period of time. So we definitely need to be around people, and a cult can offer that kind of community, that sense of family, and give you direction in life as well, and sort of safety, security, all of those things.
It's interesting that, like, I was actually targeted by, when I was not very well, in a very good mental health place a few years ago, I was, like, repeatedly targeted by, I think, Jehovah's Witnesses to try and get me to come along, and I didn't go. But they got my number and they would text me quite a bit, and they would like try. And it's weird because from their perspective, they think they've found the truth, and they think that they're bringing you in to help you.
Yeah.
But they're also separately, they are a group of people with a shared belief that are targeting somebody vulnerable in order to bring them in. And they themselves haven't questioned the validity of the thing they are pushing. So that's the funny thing, is if you think you found the truth about something, but you don't question it at all, then yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, the thing with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I think this is why I want to do multiple episodes on this, because we could do an entire episode on the psychology of cults, but just the actual topic of cults themselves, there's so much to dig into there. For Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, you can't really call them a cult because too mainstream. But there are a lot of extremist practices within the sort of Jehovah's Witness community. The shunning that they do of people that leave the fold, essentially. Yeah. Have you both heard about that?
I've watched YouTube videos of people who have left, and they get like, I can't remember what the term is, but there's a term where they get like barred and their family.
That's Scientology, isn't it? That's in the Louis Theroux documentary about Scientology.
I've heard a similar thing about Jehovah's Witness, their family can't refer to them ever again.
Can't contact
their friends and family. Can't contact them. Can't talk about them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's quite bad. Is a specific term for it, at least in Scientology.
I forgot the term, but yeah, there is a term for it for Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, it does happen. It does happen with Jehovah's Witnesses as well. And another thing as well is the whole sort of, and again, I understand like having your beliefs, but this is something that bothers me as well. Letting kids die because they don't believe in blood transfusions, you know, obviously for whatever reason. But people will let children die because, oh, we don't believe in blood transfusions. Cool, great. It's a child. Let them do whatever when they're an adult, when they can make their decisions. But
they believe that they're condemning that child to hell for having, like, this is how the sort of the like logic upholds itself. It's like a logical loop kind of thing. They believe they're condemning the child to hell if they were to do the blood transfusion.
Yeah.
So like.
Yeah, again, but again,
they can't do it. No, I know. They can't do like, okay, wait till it's an adult.
But this is what I think is difficult, is that you need to then, when you're talking about cults or when you're talking about any sort of religious group or anything along those lines, you need to separate it. You need to separate the individual from the institution, the sort of the larger group, the idea. Mm-hmm. Because while I don't think that necessarily the people that genuinely believe, yes, this, like, we have the word of God, you know, we know the truth. I don't think they're inherently bad for believing that. Mm. The structure that allows them to treat people so horribly, yeah, like, that is a real issue, you know, the shunning. Even okay, so yeah. Understandably, right? If we look at even we talk about science, right? We've got science wherein we try, that's one method of understanding the world, right? That's one lens through which to view the world. And when people don't believe in that, we will not necessarily shun them, but we will treat them definitely differently, right? Look at people that refuse to be vaccinated because they don't believe in the science that points to it being perfectly safe, right? Mm. We definitely treat them differently to most people. But you know, because we believe we have the truth, and to be fair, in the difference between these is that one of these groups has evidence, right?
Yeah, sure.
And the others obviously don't really have quite as strong evidence. Mm-hmm. I feel like this that kind of let's treat the people that are going to disregard this somewhat differently. That works only when you are operating on evidence and not faith, and even then, it's like it's very murky. There's so many gray areas there, mm-hmm. right?
The thing I find really difficult with some of these sort of beliefs is that it's almost as though even the things that people profess to believe, they don't really believe them. Mm. So for example, the example I'd give you is if you ask anybody if they believe, anybody who's in the Christian church, if they believe that Mary was a virgin and mm-hmm. gave birth to Jesus, I think they'll say yes. And then if you tell them that the word for virgin, the originally translated word from, I think, Hebrew, doesn't mean virgin. It means young woman.
Oh, really?
Believe the original Bible said it is the word of God, it never claims Mary was a virgin. It also never says, like, the understanding we have of sin, which is then the thing that people use to shun people or use to punish people, whatever, is also a mistranslation. It means, like, one of the main translations for it is, like, to make a mistake or to miss the point of life. It's literally like missing the target if you're an archer.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It doesn't
isn't it?
Mean to like commit a thing that means you'll go to hell. The only way I've understood it to mean like you could go to hell would be if you consider like a bunch of situations in your life are really unpleasant, you're in hell. You're in a really horrible place. So if you make continuing mistakes about the point of life, you'll be in hell. Yeah. Not like they're in an actual place.
That's what's interesting to me, because the Bible has obviously been translated into a number of different languages. I mean, Hebrew, I think Latin, I think English, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
Was it originally in Hebrew? I can't remember.
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been translated from a number of different languages, and it's gone through like so many different hands, right? And even the parts that we think were written by certain people weren't necessarily written by those people. Mm. Some things don't line up with the Bible, and so taking it literally and especially the English translation, that's just, it's so odd. I mean, think about when you get bad subtitles watching a foreign film.
Yeah,
right. It's that, but multiple times over across like hundreds and hundreds of years, and.
So the Bible was in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Just
there we go.
Slip that in.
I thought Aramaic. I was gonna say, but I was like, I'm not. Yeah. So, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. There you go. And that is what is so frustrating, that there's so many different stories there. And you were saying, look, that sort of hell, the only way you could understand hell is sort of bad things will happen to you in your life, and you'll be in hell. What's interesting is that Judaism doesn't have a concept of hell, as far as I'm aware. Right? They don't have hell, the sort of Christian hell. So at some point between the transition to Judaism, from Judaism to Christianity, the idea of hell must have been introduced, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's, I think from my understanding, my way of making sense of this is that hell is basically sort of a cognitive distortion whereby you're basically saying, you're trying to down-regulate certain behaviors. You're trying to say, if you do this behavior, you can't say, if you do this behavior, we'll charge you £1 million or we'll put you in prison for 100 years or whatever. Because those things, you know, they're not, they're like rational possible things to happen to you. And so then you might not do it, but then you've also got like, well, what if I get away with it? Or what if like all those other things your brain can try. What you're trying to do there, I think, if you are ruling a country or ruling a people, is you're trying to give them the maximum possible. Basically, you're saying, if you do this thing, maximum possible bad, definitely will be caught. It will last forever. You're just trying to sort of cover all the possible dimensions that the brain could use to decide how it would decide to do something, and go, no, to every single one. Might I get away with it? No. Will it end? No. How bad will it be? The worst it could possibly be. And that's what it is. That's what it is. It's almost like a computational thing, right? It's just trying to downregulate possible behaviors. We've got this sort of mythic literalism of believing it's actually a thing.
Yeah, I just think that as well, if no one can sort of come up with this entire list of things that will outsmart every potential future person. For example, you've got the whole thing of, oh, well, if God is all loving and all caring, then why would God send people to hell? And if you've also got the idea of, you know, like, oh, if God was, you know, just, if God was good, then why do children get cancer and die? Right? Yes. Why does that happen? No good God would let that happen. Therefore, God's judgment is, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need to abide by it. So, like, there's so many different explanations for why you don't need to follow the rules, or why the rules, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that even with your explanation there, Luke, that sort of coming up with these ways to keep people in line almost, still, it's almost not going to work. It's almost impossible, right? I just think it's really interesting that no matter, like, even if the sort of concept of God, heaven and hell were made up to make people be good, mm-hmm. and just, you know, go through the list and be like, okay, every single way to make sure that people can't weasel their way out of this, people will still do it, you know? People
by just not believing in it.
Well, not even by not believing in it, by using the rules that are provided, like by using the rules that are given to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could say, oh, well, you could believe in this God, but this God is clearly not just, therefore, yeah. why would one follow the rules? You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, but then they're not God. As in, if they are, what you're proposing there is the universe is either, then they're not God, and there's actually a God, and we've just picked the wrong one, or the universe is run by, like, an idiot who's not very nice, in which case you've got bigger problems.
Well, yeah, this is what I think about this, though, because we look at science, right? You've got bacteria and ants and whatnot and mice that we work with all the time. And ultimately, we think of ourselves as being, we have a kind of morality that is not accessible to those forms of life that we work with. And that we think about the bacteria that we literally just, the strains of bacteria that we literally just create in a lab. Mm. We just do that. We just make them. We mess with mice genetics constantly and do all that. Drosophila, fruit flies, we mess with them too. And if you were to try and go down to their level and explain to them what we're doing and why it's for the greater good to help this and that, they wouldn't be able to comprehend it. And so it's always very funny to me that, okay, two things. One, people think that if a God were to exist, that they could comprehend the morality of a being that is omnipotent, omniscient, and sort of eternal. You know what I mean? Like, that's just... you're very arrogant if you think that you can understand something that has the all power and all knowledge, right? It's just outside the scope of a human brain. But also that, like, that morality would line up with what we think is good, because there's no reason that it would.
I don't think that they do make that claim. I don't think they make the claim that you can understand the morality of God.
No, I know
I think
that...
they make the claim that God has told us these things, and we obviously cannot understand them, but we just follow them because God has, like, so in that situation, if you told the fruit fly a bunch of stuff and it was against what the fruit fly's instincts were, and the fruit fly believed that you were God, the fruit fly would do them, not understanding why they were your opinion of what it should do.
I'm not trying to say it's religious people that say that, oh, we can understand I'm talking about just in general, if people talk about, oh, well, this doesn't make sense, as in, why would any good God do X?
Right, yeah. Well, arrogant. Obviously you wouldn't have a
little human brain. Yeah. You don't know.
You silly boy.
Silly, exactly. Which is why I'm like, yeah, you should probably just, like, if God were to exist, you should probably just prove it, you know? Just prove it, and then everyone will listen. Just seems...
He'll be there somewhere.
Exactly. But then it seems silly to me, like, oh, why would you not do that? But of course I'm not going to understand, right? Because I couldn't. If it were, it's a very frustrating problem. But let's get back to cult and a little bit more of the science on this. So what I think is really interesting, have you guys heard of the sort of power of the crowd, that sort of social psychology idea?
Mentality.
Mob mentality is slightly different and a little more problematic in terms of its actual validity. I'll link to a video actually in the description that's quite good on it.
I didn't know they were different things. So there was a guy talking about the power of the crowd in a documentary on BBC recently about the storming of the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And the guy was basically saying, an individual, you know, no matter how difficult they are, you can talk to them, you can reason with them to a certain extent. They're not that much of a problem. This is a police officer talking, I think, or someone in terms of security. But a crowd basically almost has like emergent properties that none of the individuals actually possess.
Yeah.
And people kind of get swept up in things that they wouldn't otherwise do.
So I saw a video by, I think, is it Tom Nicholas? I think it's Tom Nicholas. It'll be linked in the description about mob mentality. And an interesting point brought up in that is that in a lot of cases throughout history, mob mentality was brought up as a way to disregard the valid sort of concerns and reasons for a large group of people getting together to enact. Do you know what I mean? As in, they'll say, oh, well, it's mob mentality. Like, people wouldn't, there are emergent properties. People wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for them getting swept up.
Kind of like hysteria. Like,
yeah, almost like that. Yeah, people wouldn't be going so far or being so passionate about this had they not been swept up in the sort of crowd.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's a difficult thing because I think it's one of those things that's slightly more shaky than we might assume. Like, for example, do you know of course you remember this, the Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
That is something that we all just assume as being sort of factual, but in fact, it's not really.
Yeah.
I think the sort of mob mentality is a little bit more shaky than we might consider. So what I mean by the power of the crowd is more about social influence, and I guess it could kind of come into the mob mentality, but I think mob mentality kind of speaks more to a sort of, when there's a large group of people, you can't trust what they're doing or saying because they're just getting swept up. Although, do you know what I mean? Do you see the sort of distinction that I'm trying to?
Not really.
So, okay. So I'll explain this sort of experiment that was done. They had a group of people on a busy New York street. Just look up at nothing in the sky. So when one person looked up at nothing, only 4% of people walking by joined them. When five people stood and looked up at nothing, 18% of people joined them. And when 15 people looked upwards, 40% of people then joined them, apparently nearly stopping traffic within a minute.
Right.
And so there's that element of sort of social influence, right? And I don't think that necessarily means that what happened, that you people lose inhibitions when in a crowd of people. Inherently, you know?
Right.
It's not that it can't happen.
Because looking up is a fairly innocuous thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's to do with just like, you're easily nudged by a crowd. It's not like you lose all individual self and just become part of a machine.
Absolutely. And I think...
Kind of watered down version of power of the mob mentality then.
Well, this is the issue, I think, that mob mentality is used as a thing, is something to write off valid concerns, and I think that's an issue there. Whereas I think you could maybe talk about mob mentality in the form of cults, but when it comes to cults, when you've got people, you know, drinking Kool-Aid and doing horrible things along those lines, it's not quite as simple as a lot of people are together and then they just lose inhibitions. There is a distinct process to getting people into cults, you know? There's so much that goes into sort of getting people like mentally prepared to be in a cult. I mean, this is the thing as well. When you come out of a cult, there are so many sort of psychological after effects. I mean, I know someone that was basically in a cult. I'm sure you do as well.
I do, yeah.
And you've met this person also. You get on quite well. And there are a lot of psychological after effects to having been in a cult. But apparently, one of the main things is to sort of understand. If you understand this and study this, because apparently a lot of cult leaders will abuse social psychology research, right? The understanding that allows them to manipulate people in the way that they do. And apparently greater understanding and greater awareness will help or could potentially help with that. One thing to help avoid people getting drawn into cults is for people to understand how people get drawn into cults, which I don't think we've really got time for to do today because we've had so much conversation on just the general topic, but we could definitely do a good number of episodes on this
follow
topic.
Up, yeah,
absolutely. I mean honestly, just there are so many episodes just in this sort of broad topic of cults. I've got something here from a man called Dr. Clark, who studied more than 500 current and former cult members since 1974. And this is from a 1982 New York Times article. So this is over a period of 8 years. And he said, in some respects, the destructive effects of cult conversions amount to a new disease in an era of psychological manipulation. When kids come out of cults, they have symptoms you just don't normally see. But many practitioners are ignorant of this disease and don't know how to treat it. So essentially, I mean, back in the 80s, the idea was that when people were coming out of cults, there was a very specific sort of, I mean, let's call it post-cult syndrome that arose. And people find it difficult to integrate back into normal life, because when you get into a cult, there is just this overarching psychological manipulation. I mean, for example, I remember hearing, I think I've told you both about this, about the, what was it? It was the ultimate sin or something. I can't remember it.
Oh, yes. You were telling us about basically this idea that within a, maybe potentially in a religious setting, the father of the family may say, there is an ultimate sin and you're not allowed to do it. That's and it. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And there isn't actually one.
No, there's not one.
But it's just used to sort of make you like stay question in line. Everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. When you ask, it is horrific. Right. It is. I don't mean to. Don't let my excitement fool you. It is absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
But psychologically, just incredibly interesting in the how well it can work to manipulate people. So let's call it. Yeah. The ultimate sin. Right. The ultimate sin is something that if you do it, hell forever.
Yeah.
And everyone will know if you've done it.
Yeah.
It is so it is so obvious that people will know if you have done the ultimate sin, and you will never ever be able to pull yourself back from it.
Oh no.
What is the ultimate sin, you may ask?
Oh, what is it?
You don't get to know what the ultimate sin is.
Oh no, that means like
Then you ask me again. But what is the ultimate sin? Why do you want to know what the ultimate sin is? Do you want to do the ultimate sin?
No, I just want to know so I don't do it.
Well, you're asking a lot of questions about the ultimate sin, which really makes it seem like you want. And so you've then got someone, and obviously there is no ultimate sin. It's just if someone is doing something, it basically gets this thing in their head.
Yeah, double think everything they do.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, what if I can't do this? I can't
do
that.
So yeah, you come across like someone drinking and they offer you a drink and you're like, what if that's the ultimate sin?
Exactly.
Someone tells you about masturbation and then you're like, what if that's the ultimate sin? Someone offers you a joint and then you're like, what if that's the ultimate sin?
Exactly.
Oh God, I just won't do anything then. I have permission from someone like my dad or a religious leader.
And you can't even question it.
You're allowed to ask, is this the ultimate sin?
But no, but that's it, but that's the thing. If you build into the whole idea of the ultimate sin, let's say, I mean, again, I can't remember if it's called the ultimate sin or not. But if you build in the idea of that, then suddenly you've not only got someone not doing things, you've also got someone not questioning it.
Yeah.
If you build in, questioning the ultimate sin makes it seem as though you want to commit that sin.
It's like a cognitive distortion. It's like a logical loop where you just are stuck and your only option is don't do anything. But are you allowed, if you're my dad and I'm asking you about the ultimate sin and I'm not allowed to ask you what it is, and I'm not allowed to talk about the ultimate sin, am I allowed to say, I just want to check, I'm turning 18 tomorrow, am I allowed to drink alcohol? Is that okay?
If I was trying to manipulate you, it would depend on what I wanted. So I'd probably say that you're not allowed to do that, but I wouldn't explicitly say whether or not it was the ultimate sin, if that makes sense.
That's right. Really mean.
In terms of manipulation, it is very simple, but it's very effective, evidently. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, obviously, cults prey on lots of different types of people. But specifically, when you're raising a child in a cult, you can basically condition them from birth, essentially. But when you get people into cults, as an adult, they often go for people that are, like I said, lonely or have experienced loss, because or in as you said, in troubled times in their lives, because those people are far easier to manipulate. And the sort of psychology of cults, just like broadly, is they use lots of different things. Like fear, for example, that you can use fear to condition someone into believing you. I mean, I know there was a time in my life when, I mean, I would have been very susceptible to joining a cult.
Yeah.
Had it been sort of presented to me in the correct way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm sure the same goes for both of you, right?
Like, yes.
Yeah, my experience, it basically was like, I was going through a time when I was really not very well mentally. And I was also having a sort of crisis of meaning and like just it felt like that basically my whatever my way of making sense of the world mm-hmm. wasn't adequate for whatever I was experiencing. And then if someone came along and basically it basically takes down your defenses. Mm. So if somebody like can inject a new sort of operating system that helps you make sense of what you're going through, then it's in, and then like the walls go back up, and it's gonna be really hard to uninstall that.
Yeah, I mean, a cult is, you can think of it almost as like a conspiracy group, can't you? To an extent, because they're
a metaphysical conspiracy group. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
They're positing some spiritual conspiracy or that kind of thing.
I mean, yeah. Not even necessarily inherently metaphysical. I mean, that is what I mean here is that similarly, I think cults offer answers or offer sort of a structure to your life in the way that a conspiracy would offer answers, right?
Yeah, meaning.
I distinctly remember a time with you, where you, I mean, when you were very into sort of conspiracies for a brief period. And
I wasn't very into conspiracies. I was very unwell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very mentally unwell. I wouldn't say I was very into conspiracy theories.
Those are entirely synonymous.
Sure. They did happen to be. I'm just saying the foundation layer was not, ooh, conspiracies.
Well, yeah, obviously. I think that I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to present you as someone who just got into conspiracies one time. But also, I don't want to just sit and be like, hey, look, remember that time you went a bit off it?
Yeah, sure.
So I mean, I remember that at that point, it was very from the outside, it very much seems like this could go very badly, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's very lucky, obviously, for you know, it's very lucky that you got out of that. But there are a lot of people who genuinely don't.
Who don't.
And mentally ill people are incredibly vulnerable. I mean, particularly to cults, because like.
Yeah.
Who is gonna realistically, we don't care enough about mentally ill people in society in general, and it's very easy to prey. It's very easy to prey upon them. I mean, and that's what cults do, really. They just prey on vulnerable people. And
but also the fact that we're not very caring towards mentally ill people exacerbates exactly why it works.
Mm.
Because you're there struggling, and society is not helping you, and those cults come in and go, why are they not helping you? They're supposed to care. I mean, it's because there's a big conspiracy. Yeah.
Religion does a similar thing as well, though, which is why it's so difficult. I mean, honestly, it is. I guess one thing that's cults, I think, use similar tactics to different religions in getting people in and indoctrinating people, but maybe by slightly more abusive means in certain cases. That's not to say that major religions don't use sort of. Abusive means, but there are a lot of religious cults, right?
But do you
and
think
it's
they...
so difficult to set? At some points, the lines get very blurry from between separating a religious cult from just plain very religious sort of group or family.
Do you think they use sort of nefarious means and abusing psychological quirks and psychological hacks? I suppose. Do you think they do that knowingly and on purpose, or do you think it is a function of how that sort of meme replicates itself?
I think it's multifaceted. So with a cult, cults are generally new and started by individuals, and then if they last long enough, someone else can rise up and gain that power, right? Mm. So I think it really comes from, in some cases, with you know, sort of the charismatic leader, it could be intentional to an extent, right? Mm. Because you want people to follow you for whatever reason, but it might be because you genuinely believe in what you're talking about, right?
Mm.
And I think the distinction almost doesn't matter too much, as in where it comes from, whether it is intentional or whether it is sort of learned. Because when you're inflicting that level of harm, it kind of becomes irrelevant how intentional it is.
No, of course, right? But I personally think the distinction is very important, because it means you, because if the cult, if it's like the case that many mm-hmm. cults, the people doing it are perpetuating the cult using psychological tricks deliberately, that is to say, the cult that they're trying to disseminate and the idea they're trying to disseminate is untrue. They kind of are aware it's untrue, and they're using psychological tricks to hook people in.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing. And that means if you're not doing that, if you are like in if you're in like the world, like we're in a society, right? We live in a society, ha 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 ha, and we aim to perpetuate our society, and we don't consider ourselves to be, well, I know that the way our society doesn't work, but I'm going to perpetuate it. If actually cults generally, the people in them do believe it, and the idea and the structure of the cult replicates and grows using psychological tricks in an unconscious way on the part of the cult members, then you need to be very aware of that in yourself for everything you try to spread and everything you try to disseminate, because you may be doing it and you wouldn't know.
No, that's totally, yeah, okay, I guess that makes sense. I wouldn't disagree with you there. Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that on the level of an individual sort of member of a cult, when you get to the point to be able, when you get to have the power necessary to sort of enact those psychological tricks, or to abuse like those forms of inherent sort of mentality in people, I think that when judging that person individually, it doesn't necessarily matter too much. That's what
in
I mean.
The same way that violent because of a horrible past, or if someone's violent because they've chosen to be violent, you still put them away for a bit to keep them away from people because they're violent, and you can damage other people.
I mean, I guess on that front, it's a case of, well,
I assume
we
would agree with that.
No. Well, it depends on how...
if somebody's violent because they were brought up in a violent home, or if somebody's violent because they've chosen to be horrible now, you still need to keep them away from people.
Yeah, so I mean is that on that front, understanding where an issue comes from is important. Understanding the roots of an issue are important, how to deal with the issue. So if someone is violent from trauma, then you deal with that trauma. If someone is violent for some other reason, then you deal with that other reason, right? And so obviously, in terms of when judging the actions of the individual person, when I say judging the action of the individual person, I mean, this is bad, okay? Whether they're doing it intentionally or not, it is really bad. I don't think it is hugely important to debate whether they are doing it intentionally or not. Obviously, when it comes to how to deal with that person, then that's somewhat different. But I don't think that necessarily I don't think those two are necessarily super connected. But I do agree with you in that it is important to understand from you know, the side of things that you were talking about. Does that make sense?
Probably.
Well, let us know in the comments if that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
But no, it is interesting because in the Simpsons episode, the Movementarians, they were doing it very intentionally, as in using these things very intentionally, which I think was, you know, which is, I think, one way to do it. But I genuinely think there are people that do these things. I mean, this is what I mean. I don't think it makes it all that less bad if someone fully believes in what they're doing or not, because I don't feel like the end justifies the means in that sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think that is basically it for the episode today. Why don't you let us know if you want to talk more about cults and actually dig into the science a bit more, because today was a little bit light on it, but there's good reason for that, and it's because there's a lot. There is a lot, and it's a very, very interesting topic on the face of it. This is a little bit more like After Dark, I think. So if you enjoyed this episode, definitely check out After Dark over on patreon.com/SciGuides. It's a brand new podcast that's released monthly where we don't really talk science. We just talk, you know, everything else.
Long tangents.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Anything.
The entire thing is a tangent.
But before we go, we've got a little quickfire quiz, don't we?
Dun, 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 dun. Cult edition.
So the quickfire quiz rules are the same as always. I will ask one question, just one question between the two of you. The first person to answer the question after buzzing in, after I finished asking the question, wins. What do they win, Jamp?
Nothing.
You gosh darn right. So Luke, what is your buzzer?
Cult.
Jamp, what is your buzzer?
Ah!
Wow. Yes, very connected. My question for you both today is, what is the name of the cult in the Simpsons episode, The Joy of Sex?
Oh, for goodness.
You literally just said it.
Yeah. You just said it.
I literally just said it. I said it because I forgot to write a quickfire quiz question, and I had to put in the answer.
I know it ended with Aryans,
mm-hmm.
But not Aryans as in the Aryan race.
I just said it.
I'm checking out. I don't know it.
How about I mouth it to you?
Okay.
There's like a set.
Cult! Movementarians.
Well done, yay! Hey! Well done, Luke. You got the answer right entirely by yourself.
I did, if you're listening to the audio version.
But before we go, we do need to do a little patron readout, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We need to read out all of our patrons, yes, all of our new patrons. We need to thank them, don't we?
Yes.
So this is the point where we say thank you to the new patrons of this month, obviously. But why don't we start off with Stryker? Thank you very much, Stryker.
Thank you to Arth.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you, Jasmine Barbosa.
Thank you, Natasha M.
Thank you, Noah Purchase.
And thank you, Sif, but not the Warriors Very 3. Good.
Sif gave us 1DKK per month. I don't know what that means.
Donkey Kong
coin.
Thank you all. If you would like to join our Patreon, just head to patreon.com/SciGuys. You can join for as little as $1 per month, which is less than £1 per month. That's insane, right?
That's pretty good.
It's insanely low. Yeah. And for that, you get lots of cool stuff. And, you know, going up the tiers, you get more and more things. We've got a whole, you know, bonus show for you. We've got a bonus episode every month. You can join our Patreon and have a very special patron color and a whole patron chat to join too. There's every episode of SciGuys live available. There's so many things that you can get. What else can they get, you two?
They can vote on episodes.
They can, yeah. There's After Dark, there's bonus episodes, there's live streams.
There's bonus little clips.
Yeah.
Of when there's bonus clips, yeah.
Lots of great stuff. Well, I think that is it. I think that's it for us today. So I think we're going to go now, aren't we?
Please.
We certainly are.
Yeah, so we'd like to thank all of our patrons. And, you know, thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys. Or you can find and contact us at SciGuys Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And this is YouTube. And at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys and send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCore everywhere.
Follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere and in my cult that I will be starting.
I'll join.
Yay!
Sounds fun.
Goodbye!
Hey! Bye!